Well, we've been going through the book of Acts, and we're at a point in Acts where Paul is getting ready to go before Agrippa. We will be getting back to that. As I was going through this week, the Lord put some things on my heart that kind of changed the message for this morning. Not kind of, it drastically changed it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we ask that as we look at your word this morning, that we will go away different, that we will be changed by your word. Lord, that you will give us understanding of your word by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you will give us, Lord, that, not that you will give us, that we will surrender, that we will give you our hearts. Lord, you have given us over and over again. You have given and given and given. And we take, take, take. But we don't repent. We don't change. We come back for more of what you can give. But we give you so little. Forgive us, Lord. Give us understanding this morning of your word. Change our hearts. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. This last Wednesday, we have a prayer time on Wednesday nights, and also followed by a Bible study. And for three Wednesday nights in a row, primarily because one very faithful couple was sick, nobody showed up for the prayer time. And it just really bugged me this time. You know, this is National Day of Prayer Week. And no one's showing up for the prayer time. And I went away with an attitude of, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? What's the purpose? No one cares. No one's showing up. The next morning, I still had that attitude. Even though God had a plan that Wednesday for Heather and myself and had a place that I feel we definitely needed to be. And yet, I woke up with the same attitude and just a attitude of just wanting to just stop doing this. Wanting to stop pastoring. Not, you know, it's like nobody else cares. Why should I care? So I called Heather. Actually, she called me and asked me if I was okay because I Facebook messaged her something, and she's like, are you okay? And I said, well, there's nothing big happening. That's the problem. Nothing's happening. It's not that something bad has happened. Nothing has happened. And so as I began to explain to her on the phone and share with her, and as she prayed for me, God just broke my heart. Not about everybody else's apathy, but about my own. And that carried over to Thursday and Friday. Thursday, the National Day of Prayer, very poorly attended here in Paradise. But you know what? None of us who were there actually even cared, because the Lord poured his Spirit out. And we were there for him. We were there to glorify him. And God moved in a mighty way as we lifted our hearts up to him. Started off kind of slow, but by the end, you could tell the Lord was just really doing something new. Friday morning, I got alone with the Lord and went to open my mouth and just started weeping for probably about an hour. Once again, not over other people's apathy, but my own sin. You know, 8 years ago, I was here. Many of you were here 8 years ago, here in this community. And you know what we see right now on the international news about the community in Canada that's getting wiped out? 8 years ago, that could have very, very easily been paradise. The worst fires that we've ever seen. And they were right there. And the firemen were telling us as we were up on the mountain watching, if it goes up that canyon, we can't do anything about this. Paradise is gone. And the winds, the way they were blowing at the time, weren't helping anything. Same situation that you see happening in Canada. And then all of a sudden, God decided, the Lord decided, not man, not our ability, had nothing to do. We thank God for the firemen that were willing to be here, but it had nothing to do with them. God stopped that fire in the valley and kept it from coming up the hill. He gave us another 8 years as a community. We're not assured that that's going to continue. That was a blessing. And that's something God reminded me of this week. That this community, except by his grace, shouldn't even be here. Except because of his mercy, shouldn't even exist today. Or it would be a lot different. And what have we in the church congregation done this last 8 years that God has given us? What changes have we made? How have we affected this community? Has it gotten better? I don't think so. Status quo? Stayed the same? Maybe a little? I say it's gotten worse in many areas. It's not okay. It's not okay for us as a body, as a church, as the body of Messiah, to continue status quo. Isaiah 5:4, the Lord put on my heart this week. This isn't going forward. Can we fix that somehow? What more? This is the Lord speaking in Isaiah 5:4. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Let me say something before we move on. When he says his vineyard, he's not talking about a physical nation. Certainly not talking about the United States of America. You could say he's talking about Israel, but he's not talking about the physical nation of Israel. He's talking about the people of Israel, their hearts. And for those of us some that are Jewish, some that are not Jewish, but if you've trusted and you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you are grafted into that nation of Israel. You are part of. So what is he saying here? He's saying, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I read this, it broke my heart once again. What has God not done for us? Oh, we can come up with a whole list of things that maybe we prayed for and thought we should have got an answer or should have gotten. But he has delivered us. He has set us free from sin. He has redeemed us. He has given us the hope of eternal life. He has given us his righteousness. He has given us his Holy Spirit. In fact, he's given us everything we need for life, it says, and godliness. What more? What more are you and I expecting from God? Because usually when I go to God, it doesn't matter if I know that this isn't the right way. I usually don't pay attention until something happens. Bad happens. Then I get serious about talking to God because I want him to answer something for me. Why aren't we serious right now when things aren't so bad? When we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to do his will. We have the resources to do his will. We have the ability right now. It's easy when something like 9/11 happens or a fire sweeps through the community or a tornado destroys our homes or some natural disaster or some personal disaster in our life. You know, we do one of two things. We either call out to God or we get angry with him and shake our fists and use it as an excuse to walk away. But God is calling us right now to humble ourselves. We're not supposed to be looking out there and pointing our finger and saying, if our nation would get its act together, then everything would be better. We're not supposed to point at this party or the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. If they would figure stuff out, everything would be better. I heard somebody pray this week, God, give us a godly leader. As if that's going to fix all of our problems. It's not going to fix here. It's not going to take away the apathy in my heart and in yours. That has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. And we get distracted by politics. We get distracted by whatever's going on with the news. We get distracted by these things. And one side wants to huddle under and hide and just gather all the stuff that we need for the end times and try to make it through. And the other side says, what's the use? We might as well just give in. The Lord is calling us to shine, not to hide, to shine in this time. He wants his body to shine forth his love, his mercy, his glory. Not hide, but to become more and more like him. But he says here, what more could have been done that I have not already done? Basically, what I hear is he's saying, what are you waiting for? What more can I do for you that I haven't already done? We have something to do in this. We have something we can do as a body, individually and together. We can surrender to Him, to His will, and we can begin to walk and live in holiness that He has given us the power to walk in this way. Isaiah 5:5-7 goes on and it says, "And now, please tell me, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help." You hear many people talking doom today, prophesying destruction, prophesying doom over the country, over the church. And yes, it is valid that if we don't repent, God will judge. But He doesn't want to. This is the thing we have to understand. He is desperately desiring that we return to Him. He will not make us do it. We have to say, "I surrender." We have to want Him more than all of these other things. You hear it clearly in Scripture. Seek for the Lord. If you seek for the Lord with all your heart, you will find Him. This is not impossible. Another passage in Micah 6:3. "O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me." Micah 6:6-8 also says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." God doesn't want us to come with those physical sacrifices. You know, I think many times even our praise is irritating to Him when our heart is not where it needs to be. Our singing and praise, what does He hear? Just words. And many times that's exactly what it is. It's just words. We're throwing them out there. We're doing it because we're supposed to do it. That's what we do when we get together at church, is we praise God. But is it from our heart? Truly from our heart? Sacrifices, offerings, all of these things. The Lord has all that. He wants you and me to surrender our hearts to Him so that He can fill us up. He's got a good plan for us. But we have to believe that. We have to trust that His plan is better than ours. That His plan for paradise is better than our ideas for paradise. that his plan for your life and mine, his plan for our families is better than our plan. Even if it doesn't look like it, we put ourselves in his hands. That's what it means to trust him. But with trusting, there must also come obedience. Because saying you trust and not doing what he calls us to do means we don't really trust him. True trust comes with action. It has to be followed up with action. Or it is not trust. It's not faith. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, that means do what is just, what is good, what is right. To love mercy. How many people do you hear asking God? I'm talking within the believing community. Asking God to bring judgment upon the earth, to bring judgment upon this and upon that. How dare we? Judgment starts first in the house of God. We should not be asking God to bring judgment. We should be asking him to bring mercy, and by his mercy, the people will repent and come to know him, and there will be true heart change. Because that is his heart. Why does he delay his coming? Peter talks about that. It's not because he is slow. It's not because, well, he just hasn't figured everything out yet. It's not because he doesn't have enough power. It's none of those reasons. It's because of his mercy. It's the kindness of God that should bring us to repentance. His kindness. And yet, we use up his kindness and we use up his grace. We're talking about grace. We thank God for his grace. But it is not so we can sin more. Rav Shaul says, should we sin more that grace may abound? God forbid. What is grace? Unmerited favor that God gives us. We don't deserve it, and yet he goes, here you go. You have my favor. And we only have that grace because of the righteousness of Yeshua. Because of what he has done for us. So God gives us that unmerited favor. But we're not supposed to be using that up and returning again and again and again and again to our sin. Oh, straightening up when bad things are happening and when we really need God to answer. And you know what? In his grace and mercy, sometimes he does, doesn't he? Even knowing our heart and knowing we will return to sin, there's times he still answers our prayer. There's times he still preserves us. Why? For the same reason a father does that with their children. Oh, I know, especially when my kids were young. Well, even they do some things now too. They're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I know that even though they come to me and they say, Daddy, I'm sorry, I'll never do that again. And you're like, yeah, right. I mean, that's not what we tell them, is it? But that's what we're thinking. Yeah, right. I know you're going to do this again, but I love you, and so I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to restore the relationship, and I'm going to make you feel like it's all good again. Isn't it so awesome that God does that with us? Even though he knows. If anybody can say, yeah, right, it's God. When we come to him like that, oh, Lord, I'll never do that again. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, right. And yet he still says, you know what? I love you. I forgive you. My grace, my unmerited favor is on you. Go and sin no more. Don't we tell our kids the same thing? This is very simple. Now you don't do that again.
Don't go do that again. Okay, Daddy, I won't. So why does he delay? Why doesn't he judge us? Because he's our Father that loves us. But let's stop taking advantage of it and start loving him. Desiring to please him. You know, I grew up wanting to please my Father. I thank God I had that kind of relationship with him. Where I grew up wanting to please my physical father, wanting to do things that I could say, hey, look at what I've done, and he could say, good job. He said it a few times. I didn't hear it a lot. It kept me constantly wanting to hear it more. But we have a perfect Father in heaven. He sees everything. He sees that decision of your heart that no one else sees. When you surrender to him, when you say, God, I want to do this, or I don't know what you're doing here, but I trust you. And he is pleased by that. No one else saw it, but he sees it. He knows our heart. He knows how hard it is for us to be faithful. That's why it says, even when we are faithless, he is still faithful because he will not deny himself. And if you and I who are believers, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have Yeshua in us, the hope of glory. And so he will not deny himself. So he remains faithful even when we are faithless. But there are consequences of disobedience. And if the body, if the church, if the congregation, whatever you want to call it, if we continue in rebellion and sin, if we continue to go back, God will have nothing left to do but to tear down that hedge and to allow the enemy to be part of his discipline. You know, and I know it's already begun in the house of God. This is not something that isn't already happening. But we have a choice. There's a community up here who needs Yeshua desperately. They don't even know it. But they need Yeshua desperately. And you and I have Yeshua in us. And yet so many times, we go along with whatever else is happening. We go along with what the world is doing. We seek the philosophies of the world as if somehow that will satisfy. Raise your hand if you've ever been satisfied by a philosophy of the world. Maybe you have. Go ahead, raise your hand if you have. I have never been satisfied by anything that I have pursued in this world because what happens? It always leaves a hole. But I'll tell you what, I have been satisfied over and over and over and over again by Yeshua. Over again. Every time I go to him, I never walk away disappointed. Never walk away disappointed when I turn to him. And yet, it's so hard to surrender. So hard somehow for us. His divine power, this is key, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You read this passage and it's just like, wow. I don't even know if I can comprehend everything that was just said. I can't comprehend everything that was just said. But let's go through it again. As his divine power has given. Who's his divine power? The Holy Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And that divine power from God has given to us all things that pertain to life. Everything that we have, everything. Life is everything. Everything around us, all the time. Your work, your home, your recreation. Nothing is outside of what He has given us. He's given us all, everything that we need. Everything, all things that pertain to life and to godliness. There's nothing outside. We don't say, well, okay, I have my congregational life, I have my church life, I have my Hare Yeshua life, and I have my work life or my school life and my family life and my recreation. And God, I'll give you the Hare Yeshua time. The rest of the time is I'm going to live my life the way I feel like it. But God, I'll give you this part. I'll give you 10% of my life. Here you go. I'll give you that part. That belongs to you, God. The rest of it is mine. The rest of it is mine. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life. Here's the problem with that. There's a huge problem, obviously. But what we do many times is in that thinking, we go out when we go to work, when we go to our family, when we spend time with our friends, our recreation, whatever we're doing, and we don't think about the Lord. We leave Him out of that. Oh, when we come to shul, we think about the Lord. This is the Lord's time now, and I have to think about Him. We go out there, we don't think about Him. We leave Him out of it, and then we're not satisfied. Big surprise. Think about that for just a second. Do we think God doesn't like to fish? Of course He likes to fish. He chose a bunch of fishermen. Do we think God doesn't enjoy a little recreation, doesn't like to sit down and watch a good movie? He may not like parts of it. Might have to fast forward through because Jesus is sitting next to you. Why do we just fast forward for the kids? Why don't we fast forward because we have Jesus in us? Yeshua in us. Or just don't watch that movie at all if you know you're going to have to fast forward. That might be a better choice. You think Yeshua's like, movies, horrible, they're demonic. Some people think that way. I haven't heard Yeshua tell me that. But what He has told me is guard your eyes, guard your mind, guard your heart. There's philosophies even in those fun little movies that you don't believe in. Why don't we believe in it? Because of the Word of God. Because of what the Word says. And so we have to guard. But it doesn't mean that we can't take Yeshua with us everywhere we go. Because He is with us everywhere we go. And yet many times what we do is we quench the Holy Spirit when we're out there. In here we're like, okay, Lord, whatever You want to do, whatever You want to do. What about what He wants to do out there? I might miss out on a little fun. You know what? Fun without Yeshua isn't fun. It's not fun. It's not fulfilling. It might only satisfy one desire, but what happens is that desire has to be satisfied again and again and again, and it keeps coming back until it starts to control. That's called an addiction. If there's something that you know you can't include Yeshua in, don't do it. If there's something that you have to leave Him out of, don't do it. Why would we want to quench the Holy Spirit working in our life? So we can listen to that, whatever. We can listen to that audio book. Or we can watch that movie. So I'm going to quench the Holy Spirit while I'm doing that? This is part of the problem that we have. We have allowed these things to control our life instead of Yeshua controlling it. Instead of the Holy Spirit doing it. Oh, I'm going to go hang out with these friends, and so I'm going to quench the Holy Spirit while I hang out with them, while I enjoy my time with them, because I certainly don't want to offend them. But I can offend the Holy Spirit, that's okay. But I can't offend my friends. Isn't there a problem in that thinking? It's okay to offend God, but not our friends? That is so backward. We should say, guys, if you're offended, that's too bad. Because I don't want to offend my Lord and Savior. So I'll take the risk. If this means the end of our friendship, it's been nice to know you. I'll pray for you. But I'm not going to do something that offends my God, my Savior. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, even if people walk away, they'll respect you for that stand. They'll go, wow, they're a real believer. They really believe what they say. They really believe the Word of God. They really believe and trust the Lord. His divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. How to be godly, how to be like Yeshua, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. And this I love, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers. This is so awesome. The Lord wants us to be partakers of His divine nature. This is what is at stake here. This is not just when we are changed into that new glorified body. I understand that will be the total fulfillment of it. But it's not just talking about that. It means right here, you and I can partake of the divine nature because we have the Holy Spirit. We have Yeshua living in us. But the only way to partake is to let him control. See, that's the word, isn't it? Control. Let Him be in charge. Let Him guide our thoughts. Let Him guide our mind. Let Him guide us in everything that we do. And what's the point? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:5-7, one of my favorite passages. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now, here's the key, because I look at that and I go, how on earth am I going to add all these things to my walk with the Lord? I can't in my own strength. I can't. Notice something, though. Each of these, He has given us through His divine power. Here is a key to this. You and I do not have to try to get these. We already have it. By His divine power, we already have all of these things. Faith, virtue or goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Let's go through each one of those. Faith or trust, that is the very foundation. Everything starts with faith. We have to have faith and trust that the death of Yeshua, His sacrifice on the cross, has fully not just covered but removed our sin as far as the east is from the west, and that by His sacrifice we are righteous before God. That's what starts the whole thing off. We have faith in Him, in His work. Not in our own work, not in our own righteousness, but in what He has done. That's the beginning. But faith doesn't go away at that point, does it? It has to keep growing. Faith is trust. Now that we've trusted in Him, now that we've believed in His work on the cross, we have to believe in His work in our daily lives. His ongoing work of regeneration, of causing us to be like Yeshua. Let me use this example. I just made the comment, we already have all these things. And some of you say, well, it says to add these things, though. So what is it talking about? This is what I feel it's talking, what I believe it's talking about. If I were to give, if Dell was a little child, and I were to give him a bike, he would have the bike, wouldn't he? I gave it to him. It's a gift. These have been given to us as a gift. With the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need for life and godliness. But what does Dale have to do? He has to get on his bike. He has to ride his bike. He's not going to be perfect at it right away. He's going to sway back and forth. He's going to fall sometimes. Although he was probably pretty tall, so probably didn't fall as much. No, I'm just playing. But he has to practice by getting on his bike and riding it. God has given us all of these things, but we have to practice them. That's what it means to add to. We add to what? It's like a skill, okay? You learn a skill, don't you? You can have a skill. You can have natural skills, and look at it that way. The Holy Spirit has given us a bunch of gifts. You and I have it already, but we have to act in them. That way we begin to trust God and we watch how he moves in our life. Look at what it says here. Faith. So we have to keep trusting him. That faith should be always growing in our life. Never diminishing, always getting stronger. Virtue. What is virtue? Goodness. More specifically, obedience. Notice there's a song, right? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The second one it mentions is virtue. Say, well, no one good is good but God. Yes, but he lives in us. Aha! The Holy Spirit is in us. So we can show goodness. What does this mean? Obedience to God's word. That's just the second thing it mentions. We put a lot of stake in that, don't we? We're like, wow, I was obedient today. I didn't break one of God's laws. Yes, but did you fulfill his will? We can go all day not breaking his laws and yet not do a thing that he asked us to do. We did a lot of things that he told us not to do. But we didn't do anything he asked us to do. Big deal. God's like, wow, that's great. You actually obeyed me for once. Now do what I'm telling you to do. See, understand this. Once again, that analogy back with our kids. There's things that our kids know are wrong. We've told them clearly that are wrong. There's things that are scripturally wrong, but there's also house rules. They know not to break certain house rules. I do not, at the end of the day, go, oh, Zamira, where is she? Oh, she's not in here. I can't. But Jaden, you're the only one in here. Sorry. Got to pick on Jaden. Jaden, you didn't break any house rules today. Good job, gold star. Have you ever gotten that? No. Because it's expected. It's expected that he's not going to break the house rules. Those are rules. They're clear. However, there's times when he does things, and I remember this, he does things over and above. Good things that please his mom, good things that please me. When he takes out the trash, which is not necessarily one of the house rules, sometimes we have to tell them, sometimes he goes in without, he sees it's full, he goes in, he does it, and he remembers to put a bag in there. Because that's a big thing. You turn around, you're in the kitchen, and you want to throw something away, especially like an egg or something, you know, and there's no bag. It's like, but he remembers. Guess what? When I see him, I'm like, Jaden, good job. You even put a bag in. Thank you. Do you see the difference? There's house rules that we're just expected to be doing. But we make a big deal. We're like, wow, I was good all day. And God's like, that's great. So tomorrow, be good and do my will. Because I had a lot of good things for you to do today that would bring glory and honor to me. And although you didn't break any of my laws, you didn't do those good things that I called you to do. So faith, virtue, Knowledge should always be growing, not just for knowledge's sake. Knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge of how to integrate my walk with the Lord, or how to integrate my life out there with my walk with the Lord. Put the walk with the Lord as the priority. How do I integrate that with the walk with the Lord? You know, I had a situation where one time I was going to have to be traveling. I had a great job that I could have gotten some time ago, but I was going to have to travel 25% of the time. Well, it really would have been probably more than that. Yeah, but they said 25%. And I looked at it and I'm like, that's taking away 25% of the time that I'd be back at the house with my family. I'm going to be away in some hotel room somewhere. I'm going to be missing my wife, my children. I said, I can't do it. Oh, but it's great. We really need you, blah, blah, blah. And we'll even up this out. I don't care. I can't do it. I don't even want to go. I don't even want to think about it, because I don't want that connection with my wife and my children to go away. I don't want to lose that. That's more important to me than making moolah bucks. And so that idea, that should always be the case with our relationship with the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord should be more important to us than fame, popularity, lots of money, even than our family. He should be first. And if we trust him in that, we put him first. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. But many times we do that backwards. We think we seek all these other things and expect to get the kingdom of God as well. And the Lord says, no, you have to seek me first. So we cannot manufacture these traits in our life. It is a work of the Holy Spirit, which is why we must seek for them through prayer. Let me say this again. Faith, virtue, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. We cannot manufacture these traits in our life. It is a work of the Holy Spirit, which is why we must seek for them through prayer. When God reveals that you and I don't have one of these, we're lacking maybe in the godliness aspect. Godliness is, as Yeshua, he did the will of his Father. That's godliness. Being like God. Being like God in our daily walk. Having his same mind, the mind of God, the will of God, pervading our will, doing what he wants us to do and not what we want to do. That's godliness. Goodness is just being obedient. Godliness is actually doing the will of the Father. But you and I, we can't do it. We really can't effectively do any of these things long term. Oh, we can pretend sometimes, but to do it over and over again. And so that's why when we see we're deficient in one of these things, which all of us are, we seek that through prayer. We say, Lord, I don't really have perseverance. Lord, I'm having a problem with self-control. Please, you, Lord, work in my heart, change my heart, give me the ability to have self-control in this area. Help me not to just give in to my desires and what I want, but to trust you. Give me the ability to bring myself under your control. That's really what that is. Controlled by the Holy Spirit, not by my own desires. So this is key. Why do we need to be praying? Well, starting first of all, right here, like we started talking from the beginning. Yes, there's apathy out there. But God revealed to me it was my own apathy that was the biggest issue. That doesn't mean you guys are off the hook. You have apathy too. But my focus needs to be on God changing my heart. And then I can pray for others as well. But then I will pray in the right mind. Not in the, well, if you guys don't get your act together, I'm out of here mind. That's pride. That's arrogance. That's something I have no right to. Only the Lord has the right to act that way. And he doesn't. But he has the right because he's always perfect. We're not. And so God, allow him to humble us and show us and begin to show us those aspects. Lord, what is hindering the working of your Holy Spirit in my life? That should be one of our main questions all the time. God, am I quenching your spirit in some way? Am I causing it so that your light is not shining? It's not clear to others that I love you, that your Holy Spirit lives within me? Lord, whatever is holding that back, I want it gone. Please remove it. Change my heart. Let the Lord show you. Let him show you those areas of sin, those areas of disobedience, those areas in this that we are deficient in. And instead of making excuses for it, we need to say, yes, I am, Lord. Help me. See, remember the guy? I love this guy. The guy who had the son with the demon that would throw himself into the fire. And the disciples couldn't cast it out. Because, and Yeshua says, he's like, guys, don't freak out. This is a hard one. I'm paraphrasing. Some do not come out except through prayer or fasting. And yet Yeshua was able to cast him out. Of course he was. He's Yeshua. But remember what he says. He says, because of unbelief. Not just the unbelief of the pagan unbelievers or those other people, but the unbelief of his own disciples. The lack of faith. Remember what he says to the Father. If you believe, paraphrasing, he'll be free. And what did the Father say? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. See, right there, that's a prayer. I believe. Father, help my unbelief. I believe that you want a transforming revival here in paradise. Help my unbelief. That should be our heart cry. Lord, we believe you can do it. Help our unbelief. But we have to ask ourselves another question. Because when God does it, things are going to change. They're going to be different. Schedules are going to be interrupted. Life as we know it is not going to be the same again. Things that we might enjoy doing might go out of business. Things we didn't tell people about that we enjoy doing. When God changes a community, he changes it. And see, that's part of the problem. In the body, we say, I want it to change out there. We want a godly leader. We want somebody that can get our nation back to God. But I want to keep my fun. I want to keep my time away from God. I want to still have my hidden sin that I'm going to keep participating in. But God, I don't want you to let anybody know about this. This is just between you and me. When revival comes, that comes out. It's not going to be hidden anymore. Why? Not because God wants to embarrass us. Because he loves us. He wants us to come into that place of freedom. So we can walk with him. We can have a clean heart. We can have the Holy Spirit unrestricted moving in our lives. And that is our biggest fear. That's what we're so afraid of. I want revival, God, but I want it to be safe. It's not going to be safe. You know, one of the best quotes that I've ever had anybody say to me is that he was praying that God would be mercifully unmerciful to my sin. Mercifully unmerciful to my sin. Not to me, but to my sin. That God would keep pursuing my sin and pursuing it and not letting me feel comfortable with it. He would go after it. He would grab it. He would keep pushing in my heart and driving me and bringing me to a place of repentance. And even if I went back to it, I couldn't stay there because I'd be pulled back to him. Mercifully unmerciful to our sin. That's what we need. We need God to do that. Not just let us stay in it, but be merciful. And say, because I love you, because I'm merciful, I'm going to remove it from you. Because it's killing us. Not just them. It's killing us. Because the light of Yeshua, the love of Yeshua, the resurrection power of Yeshua that should be shaking these walls and going out to that world out there is not. It's not. And there's a problem. It's not okay that it's not. We need to humble ourselves just like it says. We quote it all the time. We pray it every National Day of Prayer over and over again. How many times was it said yesterday or Thursday? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Words until it gets here. It's God's word. So it will not return void. But I don't want to have to hear it one day with regret and say, if I had just humbled myself, we would have seen revival. I don't want to stand before God and have to say, I didn't. I chose my sin over you. I chose my way over your way. For if these things are yours and abound, that means they keep growing all the time. All of these things we mentioned should be always abounding in the life of a believer. Not being restricted, abounding, coming out. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. Remember at the beginning what God was saying, I've done everything for my vineyard. And instead of good grapes, wild grapes have come out. If we do these things, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we look at this and we go, how can this be possible? It isn't possible in my strength. It isn't possible in my own ability. That's why we pray. That's why we seek God. That's why if we don't have love, we seek him with all of our heart till we have it, till it's flowing in us and through us. You know, I had apathy. And by the end of a phone call, I wasn't apathetic anymore. I felt apathetic. Everybody else was apathetic. I felt the same way, getting ready to throw in the towel. I thank God for my wife, who called me and prayed for me. And as I opened my mouth to pray, God started to break my heart. And by the end of the phone call, the apathy was gone. It's that simple. God can do that type of work in our heart. It doesn't have to take a long time. But it does take surrender. It does take us going, God, here you go. Everything is yours. Now, we can't do that, really. We try. We try to say, everything, I give everything to you. And God takes us serious. So he starts about that process of taking everything. And then we go, wait a second, Lord. Whoa, 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 hold on. Not that. You ever had that happen in your life? You forgot what you sang last Shabbat. You sang, everything is yours, God. You're my everything. So God's just doing it. We go, no, no, no. So he's like, okay. Come back to me when you're ready. Are we ready? That's the question this morning. Are we ready? If we're not ready, let's get ready. Because God wants to pour his spirit out. This is not a problem with God. We're the problem. And he wants to pour his spirit out. And when he does, it will be much better than anything we have ever even imagined. You can hear. There's some transforming revivals that have happened in history, and I encourage you to go read them. 1830s in Scotland. Robert Murray McShane. Read that one. That's a great one. One that a lot of people don't know. There's lots of other ones. The Hebrides. Some that I haven't read that much about. But the 1880s one, I did. 99% of the parish became believers. And we're not talking just, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. We're talking strong believers filling the churches. The bars closed. The jails closed. They didn't need them anymore. Churches. You know why churches were left open for so long? So people could come and pray? Because people were coming and praying, and they weren't worried that somebody was going to go in and steal the sound system or the Torah or something else out of the church. If 99%, 0.9, whatever, of paradise came to know the Lord, seriously came to know the Lord, we could open the churches again. We could unlock the doors. We wouldn't have to worry. Leave our houses unlocked. Leave our cars unlocked. People wouldn't be cheating each other, stealing from each other, taking advantage of each other. We wouldn't have to worry about our children playing that they might be kidnapped and something bad happened to them. We go, oh, that could never happen in our society. Why not? It's happened before. You think those people were any less of humans than we are? No. But God can change hearts that drastically. And you know what? If the rest of the country doesn't want to do it, we can still do it here in paradise. Wouldn't it be cool if paradise actually became almost like paradise? And people were up here going, whoa, everybody's friendly. Everybody's nice. I can leave my car unlocked. I don't have to. What's going on with this town? Jesus. Jesus is happening in this town. Everywhere. Everywhere you see him. He's all over the place. He's in us. That's what it should be. And that's what it can be. This is not a pipe dream. This is what God wants for us before we go up there. I want to close with a special prayer this morning. Who's a mother in the room today? Any mothers? Wonderful. I have a lot of mothers this morning. I want us to gather, if you're near a mother, I want you to go and put your hand on them. We're going to pray for our mothers this morning as we close. Find a mother. Raise your hand if you're a mother again. If you're not a mother, find a mother and put your hands on them and pray for them. Ask them first if it's okay, but you know. The first prayer that we want to pray this morning, and I want you to agree with me as we pray, is for mothers who have children at home.
This is young children at home, and they are, you know, any children at home, and they desire to raise them in the way of the Lord. Let's pray for those mothers. Father God, we just lift up those mothers and fathers, but Lord, we lift up the mothers today as we are getting ready to celebrate a special day for mothers tomorrow. But Lord, I just lift them up today, those that have children in the home. Lord, empower them with your Holy Spirit. Give them wisdom as they pass on to their children that love for you. Lord, teach them, help them as they discipline their children in a godly way. Not too harshly, but also, Lord, not letting them get away with sin and things that they shouldn't get away with. Lord, give them strength. Give them ability. Lord, every day it can be very tiring to be a mother. Whether you're a working mother or you stay at home, it doesn't matter, Lord. We lift up these mothers to you. We ask that you will give them strength. You will give them direction and leading as they want to lead their families and guide their families in love for you. And Lord, just let them know how much you love them. Thank you, Lord, for them. Also, I'd like to pray for mothers that have children that know the Lord but are not walking with him. If you're a mother and you have a child who knows the Lord but they're not walking with the Lord, could you raise your hand so we can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. We need somebody over here too. Well, you're with her, so that's good. Okay. Anybody, one more time, raise your hand. You have children but they're not really walking with the Lord right now. Okay, thank you. Father God, I just pray for these mothers that have children that they have taught, that know you. Children that know, that have asked you to be their Savior, but they are deciding to walk away from you. They have decided to walk away from you. Lord, I pray that you will be mercifully unmerciful to their sin. And in your mercy, that you will draw them back to yourself. Lord, we agree with these mothers. They pray for their children every day. They seek your face. They call out to you. And Lord, you are saying you want to bring these children back, that you are going to bring these children back. Give them faith as they trust you. Help them not to give up, to not stop praying for their children to return to you, to come back to you. Lord, I pray wherever they are, even if it's a relatively nice place, that they will look around and it will become like a pigsty to them, Lord. That they will look around and they will realize that they have walked away from a place of safety, a place of love, a place of joy. Not just the physical home, but that spiritual home, Lord. That relationship with you. And help them, Lord, to desire to go back. To return to you. It doesn't matter what they're doing, what their lifestyle is. Lord, none of this stuff is too hard for you. So Lord, draw them back to you in the name and power of the blood of Yeshua. Move in a mighty way in their lives. Set them free, Lord. Any addiction, anything, Lord, that is in that way, set them free and draw them back to you. And mothers that have children that don't know the Lord. Any that are here, mothers with children that don't know the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Lord, we do pray for those that we know that don't know you. And Lord, I pray that you will work in their hearts, that you will reveal yourself to them and draw them back to yourself. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who hears our prayer. You are a God who answers our prayer. You are a Father, a loving Father, who, Lord, hears the prayers of your children and answers them. And we trust that these prayers will be answered this morning. We pray all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha ve'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Continue praying throughout this week for God to work, first of all, in our own hearts and in our community. Just because National Day of Prayer Week is over, we need to be praying even more, don't we? Amen. Shabbat Shalom.